Speaking of reliability. Friends talking about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career.
All right, welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg.
And this is Adam Varrett. And I think today we're looking to talk a little bit about the reliability community and the sense of community that and what's unique about it for our discipline.
It's easy. I got 47 other engineers in my department and we all get together for lunch on Fridays. So that's my reliability community.
Yeah, but how many of them are reliability engineers?
Well, some people actually are in big reliability departments, which is kind of There's a few out there. I'm joking, of course, because as everybody knows, as I'm sole proprietor and individual consultant. So, I have a department of me and my wife helps me out with some podcast editing and some other stuff for the website. But I've often phrased reliability engineers as being the loneliest discipline. And I'm sure the CEO would argue that theirs is the loneliest discipline. But you walk as a reliability engineer, you walk into an engineering group and go, "Hi, I'm the reliability engineer. I'm here to help." And they all grunt and turn away and go, "You just break our stuff. You just tell us how bad it is." You know, they don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. I mean, actually, usually what I'm most concerned about is that you're going to slow them down.
Yeah.
Right. That's the thing.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, and it's getting more and more difficult for people to go to conferences. I know across the board, professional societies and conference attendance is down from what it was 20, 30 years ago. Evening meetings in some areas, like I'm out here in the San Jose, California area, Silicon Valley, and we have a pretty high density of engineers and engineering meetings. So there's two different groups that meet every month to talk about reliability and statistics. But if you're in Cincinnati or in Chicago or Seattle, which are not small places, there's not enough of a density for you to have that get together happening. And so I think some of the more traditional realms of what we consider as community for reliability professionals is slowly deteriorating or going away. So this podcast, even though it's you and I, Adam, talking to our audience, and on occasion we get questions back, it's a form of community, wouldn't you say?
Well, that's the thing, is that to say community is fading, you know, at a base level, or is it transitioning, right? I mean, because it's even looking beyond engineering, you know, you see the statistics that teenagers and young 20s, the amount of people getting their driver's license is dropping, right? They aren't as interested in getting their driver's license. Mm-hmm. And so for you and I, in our generation, that sounds like insanity.
Couldn't wait to get
our driver's license.
Sounds like a good thing from when I'm looking at the traffic out there. The less people driving, the better.
Yeah, it's benefits. But you have to ask yourself, like, what's going on? And then you stop and think about it. And a lot of the reasons why we wanted our driver's license has been replaced with an online version, right? So socializing, these people are in their rooms socializing all day, like live, you know. So if you see like video game stuff now, playing games, I mean, you're talking with the other people live. You can even, you know, the video on of you, and you're really fully socializing, you know, shopping, you know, you're doing online and all these things that we, you know, used to do. So is that why the physical conference attendances are down? Because it is so easy to listen to podcasts now, watch videos and do other things like that?
Well, I'm going to brag a little bit here. RAMS, the Reliability Maintainability Symposium, a couple of years ago, and somebody walked up to me and said, you know, as much as I love coming to conferences, I get to meet people that I read about, I read their articles, and I had to introduce myself to you. And it was, thanks for doing what you're doing with Ascendo and sharing so much. He goes, and by the way, as a rough count, I think you put out more content through Ascendo, right? Articles and podcasts and webinars and everything else we do on the site, and there's 9 sponsoring professional societies for the conference. He says, then these 9 conferences do combined in a year, you do in a month.
Yeah.
You know, like, wow, thanks. I hadn't thought of it that way. But he says, you know, I look for the stuff from Ascendo and I read it. And every day, you know, I've got stuff I can find and that's useful for me. Whereas this conference is once a year.
Right. So it's so that's the thing. So I wonder, you know, if that's a lot of it, because that older method of, you know, oh, Wednesday night I have to go down, drive to after work to a meeting, some, you know, like the, you know, the IEEE meeting, mm-hmm. wherever, get on mm-hmm. a plane and go to the conference. And, you know, all those are very slow forms of communication by comparison. And I mean, it's across the board, right? I mean, look at Uber, right? Uber did nothing but, you know, connect people who want to get somewhere with people who are willing to drive them somewhere, as opposed to, you know, more traditional taxi service. So that's, it's right. kind of, I think to some degree, it's accelerating. It's just the old formats getting left behind.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I think the transitioning part is a piece of that. Now, the one-way stuff we do with the podcast, for example, or it's predominantly one way. We're broadcasting, essentially. And we do get questions on occasion. So there's some sense of that. But it's not as engaging as having a good old-fashioned discussion. I know in the webinar, I did one on Tuesday this week, as the time we're recording this. And I think we had 80 people online. And the chat window was just going crazy. It was just an ongoing stream, and there were once I recognized people who were talking to each other, it was great. I don't have to pay as much attention to this. I still chimed in and got answered some of the questions I was seeing going by, but it was more of people talking to each other, which is a structure that a many to many discussion is hard to do, even when you're at a conference.
Right. And but the thing is that what the conference used to be for is to get rid of the geographical limitation, right? So mm-hmm. if I'm going to go to an IEEE meeting, I have to drive down there. But that means only people within driving radius are going to go.
Right.
The idea with the conference is we get rid of the geographical limitation and we all get in one spot. But, you know, that's obviously expensive and cumbersome. So here you were able to do it effortlessly, right? Because that's the thing with reliability and why I think our discipline will benefit from this transition most is, like you know, like we say, reliability is the loneliest discipline. And that's because a lot of departments can be small. So if you get rid of the geographical limitation, you then have, you know, all the different smaller groups or individuals around the world can instantly collaborate. So I think that for reliability, we'll actually be able to see a tremendous jump in our community through this, you know, new virtual, all these different ways of communicating.
Yeah. You know, and for me, the sense of community really hinges on that two-way conversation. And I heard it phrased the other day is that I see you and you see me, in the notion of that I hear you, I understand you, I get it, and it's reciprocal. And, you know, so the conference stuff, it takes an investment. It takes many trips to get to know people and to really get to trust them and stuff. Online, discussion forums and so on, so many of them go off the rails. I think, remember Usenet? You ever been part of the Usenet forums?
No.
Well, even on Nextdoor, which is a current bulletin board system that community is limited to your geographical region. There's a freeway. It goes up over the mountain close to where I live. Mountain. Most people are going to laugh. It goes up to 2,000 feet, I think. So it's but it's a windy road, two lanes, freeway-ish thing. And there's sirens almost every day. And anytime it rains, it's even more. And then usually a thread gets started by going, oh, we got to shut down 17. We got to fix 17. We got to do this. We got to do that. And it goes into a political nightmare black hole of accusing each other of being idiots. And I was like, I don't even follow those threads anymore because they devolve immediately. But that sense of anonymity, you're behind your keyboard, you can say whatever you want. Where if those people were in the same room, it would generally, not always, but generally be a bit more cordial. I think the nature of the online stuff is almost there, but it's not quite.
Well, there's going to be other elements to it. When it's so that with that, there's the needs are rather minimal. If you're approaching this as a professional community to engage with other professionals who throughout your career, you're very likely to engage with in a lot of different ways, I think that anonymity is diminished because you are saying who you are and you do want to uphold a certain reputation. So I think people are less likely to indulge in just the kind of, you know, berating each other. Whereas if you're arguing about traffic or something, you don't care if this person you're arguing with ever talks to you again. It doesn't matter.
You don't even know
who they are.
Right.
So I think to some degree in a professional type engagement that's diminished. I think there'd be more hesitation to just, let it degrade to that. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point. And it's LinkedIn's different than Facebook in some regards because of that.
Right.
And I mean, it varies all over the map and depending on which groups you're in and how they're moderated and so on. Yet generally, if you're going into a, asking us a question, and we get good feedback and we get feedback saying, what were you thinking? This is, the audio is horrible or this is terrible. Or, what are you talking about? That's not appropriate or whatever. And we get corrected. There's no doubt about it, but it's usually done. I don't know. I can't recall ever getting a hateful message at all from our community. And so I think you're right, Adam. I think there's a bit of, hey, we're in this together and we're working together and learning together and we can give each other constructive criticism. I think that's fair game, but it's the hate stuff. We just don't see, which is great.
Right.
Now, Adam, you've been involved with a mastermind group.
I've been facilitating, I think, one of the ones that's, I think, maintained to be, the strongest. We've had it going for a few years now. So Celine Geyer and I actually brought ours together a while back. And
Well, you had an issue with just critical mass, getting enough people to meetings and so on. And so, I mean, but the general gist of mastermind is that a small group of people get together on a regular basis, whether in person or online. And we were offering it or suggesting doing it online just because of the geography and getting enough people interested in it. And you talk about, what are the issues you're facing? What are your goals coming up? And the rest of the group provides guidance and input and you rotate who's getting the guidance is one of the concepts of it, but it's a trusted group of colleagues to bounce ideas off of. Is that a fair assessment of what you guys are
doing? Yeah, that's it. It's looking to bring a very personal element to it, kind of even beyond just larger professional groups or forums. It's a little bit of, if you've ever worked in a situation where there's that person, you're like, hey, can we have lunch? Because I need to talk about such and such, in confidence. And that's kind of ultimately what we're going for. And I would say that we are looking right now to try to improve it past some of the issues with the consistent attendance. So what happens is people aren't able to consistently attend. So we're actually going to try alternating the times between a convenient West Coast time and convenient East Coast time.
Mm-hmm.
And which then, of course, further helps, people in Europe and other locations as well. But I think if we can get to where the people are able to consistently attend the meetings, we kind of do an attendance call before the meeting. So like an hour before we say who's going to be able to attend, everybody's professionals, you might have overlapping meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's now we've gone beyond the geographical limitation to the synchronicity limitation, right? Synchronizing.
Yeah. And it's just not the same when you do it asynchronous, right? Doing this by an email chat group kind of thing it's not the back and forth that takes it to closer to being in person.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we trade off one issue of not having to all fly to Boston to be at the meeting, but then it's just scheduling. So but it sounds like it's a whole nother level of sense of community. It's not quite mentors, but it's not quite your boss. It's like going to a conference, but you get to know those people. You've known them for, met every month for a year type thing, or every week for a year,
exactly,
whatever your schedule is. So you really get to know other people and what's useful or not useful. I know that when I was a reliability engineer, my boss was very, very technically capable and was guiding me to become better at what I was doing. And so I was very, very lucky in that realm. Whereas when I remember when I was in this company, somebody bought a workstation and kind of underhandedly and got in a lot of trouble for it. But then this workstation, this box, it was actually a Next computer, was sitting in a closet. And I was struggling with my little old computer and I couldn't do half the analysis I was trying to do. So I asked my boss, what about this Next computer over there? Can I fire it up and try to use it? And she's like, yeah, go for it. So I dragged it out, hooked it up, and I had no idea what I was doing with it. So I got it in touch with the users group that was meeting locally for owners of users of Next computers. And I went to that meeting and they says, oh, get online. Here's how you do it. Once you're there, go to this place and there's 20 or 30 of us there. We'll be more than happy to help you every day. Saved my life. And I got that machine up and running. I was able to do stuff that nobody in our organization could do. I actually set up a mail server before internet mail was a thing. I had 50 subscribers in my company. And my computer was the mail server out to the rest of the world. And people would come in and going, hey, my brother-in-law said he has an email address, but he didn't tell me what it is. Can you help me find it? And he says, well, where's he work? IBM, right? They usually use first initial, last name. Let's try sending a few combinations. And we'd find people that way.
Interesting. That's interesting.
Right? And you know, I remember when I first set it up, they said, well, you need a domain name. And I'm like, what's that? And so this, you know, at the meeting, they said, they explained what it was. So I went back to our IT department manager and said, Steve, can I have use our company name.com as a domain? Oh yeah, no problem. It's that internet thing's just a fad. It's not sticking around. It's not going anywhere. And so I set it up. I paid $10 and bought a domain and set up this email server. And I had my connection it wasn't even called the web then, but I was online. And I got in touch with these people that provided a community of users of this computer system, and they were able to answer questions. And eventually, I was able to help other people that were behind me in the learning curve of it. So that was a fun, dynamic community, and because you could count on them and somebody in it, not necessarily individuals. But you could count on getting some good input and feedback. And then you developed a sense, or at least I did, I developed a sense of, well, can I help? I don't want to be always asking questions and taking. I want to help other people. So eventually I started doing that also. And I think that's what makes that community work, is this ongoing helping the next person along.
I agree. Do you want to hear one of the funniest anonymity stories that I've ever heard?
Sure.
Speaking of online and anonymity, I know I'm going to mess up that word eventually. It's a tricky one. I was talking about the video game thing, right? I don't really do online games, but for those who do, Steam is one of the biggest hosters of it. It's basically the equivalent of Netflix. You can basically go on to Steam and select what games you want to play and, you know, play all these worldwide communities. Mm-hmm. And Steam, you know, they obviously know where all their accounts are, and they have one single account in North Korea in the Pyongyang, the capital.
Huh,
so
that.
if you stop and think about that, that means that there's probably some 15-year-old boy in the middle of America has called Kim Jong-un's mother, son of a butaba. You know what I mean? There's some kid that has cursed out the dictator of North Korea totally unknowingly. I realize that that really inevitably must have happened at some point.
There goes Dayton. It's all gone.
Right, exactly. Why is North Dakota getting bombed? Like, what happened?
But it's, you know, the technology part and in one realm, it's bringing us closer together. I mean, the distance of having to go to a conference or an evening meeting is gone. It's transitioning. I think it's the way you phrased it. I agree. Is that we can go find technical experts or great lectures or how-to videos or a great place to go just ask a question. The hard part I find for the reliability folks is one of the things I haven't been able to replicate. When I was at HP, we had an internal design for reliability email list. right? And it was a way for anybody on that list to ask a question, and they were pretty much guaranteed they would get an answer. And and so somebody would say, hey, I've got a problem with this vendor. I'm getting these weird behaviors. Anybody else see this, or what should I do? You know, something like that. And they would get 5 to 10 responses pretty quickly. And if not, my role was to help them find an answer. So I'd go find somebody that most likely knew the answer and would get in touch with them. And so it was, it became known as a place to go to contribute, and a place to go to ask questions. But there was no trade secret or intellectual property or non-disclosure barriers to that. It was all internal, and it was kept internal, right? And when we've tried doing something like that externally, that there's that headwind. Well, I can't talk about this because my lawyers say if I can't talk bad about a vendor, right? Because they're going to sue us if I put it out on a public forum. Or I can't name what company I'm from or what vendor I'm working with when I see a failure, because there's legal ramifications. If I do that, it'll break some non-disclosure agreement of some sort. And so I see, I don't know, in the communities you've been in, Adam, how do you get past those resistive forces or headwinds to open up the discussion so that you actually get a meaningful dialogue going?
Well, I think there's no clean-cut way to get past it entirely, right? There's never going to be a magic way where everybody can talk freely, because there is confidentiality and there is value to confidentiality. That's important. Mm-hmm. So probably the real answer is, how do you optimize it, you know, in different situations where you can get the most out of it for your needs, getting a question answered or getting help, while at the same time not revealing information that shouldn't be revealed. So, you know, that's one of the things with the mastermind, is that even the conversations can become private, right? So if you have a conversation on a forum, anybody can view it, right? So that's, and then if people know you and know your background and your profile, it becomes very easy to put things together. Mm-hmm. But if, let's say, I'm in, you know, one specific industry and I'm talking with somebody else that's in an entirely different industry, doesn't really know anything about what I do, they know a company I work for, I might be a little bit more comfortable revealing more details that I know that they can't piece together, nor they are interested in, right? And there's no record of the conversation. So I know that the confidentiality part, I'm respecting that in the sense of, yeah, if I was blasting this out to the world, it might be too much information, but to this specific individual, it's not. But I'm still able to describe the problem well enough to get more help and input. So I think there'll never be a clean, perfect way to do it. I think it just comes down to the actual way that you're communicating. But that's what the mastermind is looking to do. It's looking to further optimize that, you know, a little bit for specific people in specific situations.
I think I hear the Corvette outside your door.
All right, there's something outside. Actually, what's funny, I just brought the Datsun 280Z out of its winter hibernation this morning.
And did then, somebody go drive it off on you?
Yeah, I hope not. And then the Porsche is coming out next week, and the Mercedes came out last week, and all of a sudden we're like, oh crap, there's 5 cars in the driveway again.
Yeah,
that's what living with me happened. That's what happened.
That's what happened. But you know, the idea of, I think we can still have a pretty great sense of community, even if we're talking about generalities. You know, I remember Dick Moss used to do presentations at HP, and he'd go, and there's a division to remain unnamed. He would shield or mask or redact parts of his presentation and go into the technical details. Yeah, this capacitor was used in this pulse wave modulation system, and the occurrence of dielectric breakdown went up orders of magnitude. So don't do that. That's a bad thing to do if you use it this way, you know, kind of thing. But he didn't say what capacitor it was. He didn't say what circuit it was. He didn't say what product it was. But it got the point across that if you design a product that's going to invoke this failure mechanism, this, you need to be aware of that. And that's a good thing. So he was a master at doing that. But it would still told a great story. It still kept it in enough detail that it was actionable, but it didn't give away any discriminating or incriminating information. that caused more problems later on. Because that's not the point. If we're not here to blacklist 3 to 4 vendors and say, oh, don't ever use them, they make bad products. That's a different
conversation. And then by having it be a one-on-one, you can further optimize that balance that mm-hmm. you know, you're saying he was so good at, as opposed to a broad audience, right?
Yeah. No, we'll have to keep working on this. I think, you know, I know you've been interested in it for years, and the mastermind part is one element we're working on, more of the discussion forums and other forms of it. But the best way, Adam, and what we hear about every time in these podcasts is, hey, if you've got a question, if you've got some input, let us know. Head over to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR and let us know what you think. Email's fine. Send us a note directly, add a comment. There's a comment form on that page. And, you know, is community important to you in our field? And what are your ideas of how you would like to see that work? And it's something that we're seriously thinking about and have done a number of experiments on so far, and we're trying to find what works best for folks. So we'd love to hear what your thoughts are on that. Again, it's ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. So with that, Adam, you're going to go find out if you still have cars in the driveway? Because that sounded like one of your engines. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I might take a look when we're done here.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Adam. And have fun with your mastermind groups, and we'll be in touch.
All right. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.